Okay, we're on the Tanya in the Sefer here on page Resh Pei Hei. We're talking about the difference between what learning Torah and doing mitzvahs is as opposed to anything else in this world. And we got a very important footnote, not footnote, but the commentary on the fourth line over here, which is discussing how this Torah is connecting the person to God in the greatest way. So he gives a little bit of an introduction to an important concept in Kabbalah. He says, "Haratzon ha'elyon eino mislabish b'pnimis olamos." The will of Hashem, the supernal will of Hashem, is not enclosed in the inner worlds. El omed aleim bebechinas makiv, but rather stands above them with an aspect of surrounding umachayusam ikur chayusam, giving them their main life force. And only a little bit of its surrounding illumination gets enclosed within it. So now he goes into a broader explanation. There are two levels in the life force that Hashem gives. Echad, and these are terms you should get used to. We've just come across it a little bit. One is called Sovev Kolalmim, the one that surrounds all the worlds. This level is beyond what creatures are able to accept in their inner aspect. They can't take it in. It's too much. If they would take it in, it would just totally destroy them. So these forces, these godly forces, stay around them. They don't penetrate in. Beis, the second one, Mimala Kalalman, fills the entire worlds. What's that? That's the second one. It's called fill, the one that fills the entire world. So Sovev and Mamali, surrounding and filling. This is the life force that is enclosed with inside the creature, Sheirak Ha'ara Bilvad, with only a slight illumination alone. That which the creatures are able to contain and to tolerate. And the main life force of the creatures, it doesn't come from that illumination that is so constrained, that's enclosed in that little bit. It really comes from the one that surrounds it. Habilti mugbal, that is without any limitation, shemaki valeim, that surrounds them totally. Okay. So, yeah, that's the first point. So you got this tremendous power that cannot at all penetrate the human being or anything that's created in this world, or which is totally, we couldn't exist at all independently. And a little bit leaks in, and that is the part that appears to give it some life force that we can appreciate, but it's not the main force. When you think about this, when a person learns Torah, what part of the light are you connecting with? You're connecting with the light that is beyond the worlds. That does not get enclosed with them. So it won't nullify their reality. So that the Torah, okay, so that's where the Torah is. Remember, the Torah is Hashem's will, which is totally Hashem's power, and that's what's surrounding. So now if a person will engage in learning Torah, what's going to happen? You are now touching upon godly light that's beyond what this world can comprehend. So what's going to happen? Yamshich alav yira gadola. A tremendous fear, is going to overcome the person. Why? There's two levels in fear. Yira tata v'yira ilah. A lower type of fear and a higher type of fear. Again, fear does not mean you're afraid of getting punished, but it means understanding reality, seeing reality. So you have the big and the small, or yira gedol, or the big fear and small fear. Kol yira, any type of fear, what does that mean really? It's being nullified before one that is loftier than oneself. And the more the loftiness is, so the nullification of the fear is greater. Umashal, for example, what kind of fear and nullification is there before a king? It's much greater than that fear and nullification before a great officer of the king. If there's any way of comparing a person with whom he fears, if he feels some kind of commonality, ain't a year of a bitul b'tachlis. You can't say that the fear and the nullification is of the ultimate amount. Why? Because he has a little grasp in the other person of his own reality. Whatever, I'm like him, so I don't have to be so in awe of him, even a little bit degree that way. Habitul v'tachlis, but ultimately nullifying yourself. Sheikh Davka Kesher Margish Romus Kazu, only when you feel such a loftiness, Shemitsuda and Shumtvis Makom Tsiyasu, that when you look at that other object, you have no grasp of that reality yourself. V'cheinu b'yiras Hashem. So it is with the fear of Hashem. Kesher Misbonim b'masha Kodesh Baruch Hu Bo'olamos, when you contemplate that Hashem created the worlds. We have a little bit of a grasp of these worlds. We see them. Scientists are able to analyze them, quantify them. And Hashem is related to those worlds. We can't pull that to bring it to the ultimate of fear. So you have this lower level. Right? Because we know, okay, so Hashem created the worlds. Okay, so we understand the worlds too. We can go to the moon. We have some connection to this world. Certainly understand God's more powerful than us. Yeah, but still, we have some connection with this too. When you begin to sense the level of godliness that's beyond, it's so beyond these worlds, and those worlds don't grasp that at all, he has to nullify himself totally now. This is the higher form of fear. So now, call Hashaycha Shel Nivrei Melokus, any connection that the creatures have with God, that's only on the level of how God has constrained himself, as it were, and created the worlds. And there's that bit of godliness that penetrates into the world of the Mamali Kol Alma. Aval Hadarga Shel Malamitzimtzum, but that level that's beyond any constraints, Ein Lo Shayches Avraham, has no connection with the created world at all. Next page. Avodarga Zuba. Oh, so there's no way we can connect to that. There's no way we can connect to the Sovev. The Sovev is totally nothing to do with this world. Although it's the source of it all. It's the source of it all. So how do we get to this? How do we have any connection to that part of the world? That level comes through Torah. Why? Shekasher lomid, when you learn, now remember what's happening when you're learning. You are now unifying with the will of Hashem, because Torah is the will of Hashem. It's not doing the will of Hashem, it is the will of Hashem. Masha kol ha'olamos einam tofsim makom negdo, where none of the worlds are able to grasp anything there. Now you're able to enter a place of great fear. You're able to enter the world of the Sovev.
No Simpson.
There's no Simpson there. Now, of course, obviously, we'll have to see, you know, how you don't get blown apart from that. Mm-hmm. That's another question. But you are touching that realm, as it were. So here, it looks like Torah. It looks like a Chumash. Right? But you're touching on that greater art. They have to begin to appreciate. See, we're going to start a new Sefer tomorrow morning, and you're going to begin to appreciate, you know, what is learning Torah. We just think, learning Torah. After this, I'll go to my magazine. You know, it's not the same. It's not the same at all. Alright, but that's what Torah is. You're touching the world of the part of Hashem that's the Sovev. Now with this, he explains the Pasuk in Parshas Vaschanan. It says, "Vayetzavenu Hashem es kol achukim el." Hashem has commanded us all these statutes, and then it says, "Liyiras Hashem," to fear Hashem. So now we're talking about fearing Hashem after the commandments, the statutes He gives us. But pasuk mavur, and this pasuk it explains, "Shatachlis shel tziv achukim." What's the goal of God's commandments and the statutes? Shadei limud achukim, by learning the statutes, and that's what the footnote at the bottom says. He's learning that Hashem commanded us statutes. He commanded us to learn the statutes, not to do the statutes. That's footnote Ches. That he's, because really the pasuk says, I command you statutes. And what does that mean? Does it mean to do the statutes, do the mitzvahs, or learn them? So the Tanya is learning, the pshat means to learn. I command you to learn the statutes, and then to fear Hashem. And what will happen that? By learning the chukim, novel yiras Hashem will come to fear Hashem. Now, l'chura halohu avhevach, you would think it should be the opposite. You would think, hayira hi asiba goremes l'kem achukim. You think that the fear is the reason why you do the mitzvahs. Right? V'lo shachukim hem bishvil yira, but not that the chukim are for the yira. Ach v'imash yisbar mu, but now, based on what we explained, it's very clear. Linyin yira tata, what are you talking about? The lower fear, that lower fear that we have some connection to Hashem through this world. Bemes aseiru l'hepech, the order is the reverse. You have to have a certain amount of fear before you learn Torah, which will bring you to learning the Torah, doing the statutes. But for the higher level of fear, that comes from the learning, because the learning is from the higher realms, and that exposes you to the higher realms of God. And this is the goal of learning Torah. The goal is not just to do the mitzvahs. I mean, of course you have to do the mitzvahs, but the bigger goal is to connect to the higher realm that you can only do by learning Torah. Says the Tanya, Val Yira Gedola Zuhumra, and because this higher level of fear, it says in Pirkei Avos, Imein Chachma in Yira, if there is no Chachma, there is no fear. What does it mean? It's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says both ways. Amru, Imein Yira Ein Chachma, Imein Chachma in Yira. If there's no fear, there's no wisdom. If there's no wisdom, no fear. So the Chorban Maskel, so what comes first? Chicken or the egg? Elamano. Hashem Adubar Kamal Shtei Madregas Yir. We're talking about two different levels of fear. Imein Yira Tato. If there isn't a lower level of fear of how we can fear Hashem in this world, then Ein Chachma. There is no beginning to learning Torah at all. Kedah Yira Boim Lum Torah. If you have fear, you'll come to learn Torah. Imein Chachma. But if you don't have that Chachma, now that you are learning that higher, that Torah, then you don't have that higher level of fear. Because that only comes to learning the Torah. So it comes out, you have to have a certain degree of awe of Hashem to learn Torah the way Torah was meant to be learned. Okay, people learn Torah, they don't learn it all the way it was meant to be learned. You have to be learning God's Torah, not your analysis of God's Torah, the way you want God's Torah to fit into your life. Right? People can look at something that says black and white, you can't do this. The guy says, no, you see, I can do it. Right? Because it has this distorted way, so you have no fear at all. If you have fear and you're learning the Torah the way the Torah is meant to be learned, now you're connecting to that highest will of Hashem, which is in the Sovev Olamim, which brings you to a totally new understanding of what's beyond you. Really, and that's really what's going on over there, because, you know, you're not going to really be able to understand all that, because it is so beyond you. Tanya continues, V'atara nikras etzla tara ledarta. And the Torah is called a tara ledarta, which will explain in a minute. Kemosh kosmokam acher. Isa Gemara. Gemara says, Amishe shel Torah vein liyir shemayim. What about someone who has Torah but has no fear of God? What does it mean? He has Torah, but he has no fear of God. What does Gemara compare that to? It's Gemara in Shabbos. It says, L'chaval, a woe, al deleis ledarta. He doesn't have a darta. What's a darta? So Hebrew says, Shem Chatz, he doesn't have a courtyard. Okay. So woe unto a person who doesn't have a courtyard, but vitara lidarta of it, but he makes a gateway to the courtyard. Pretty bad. A guy makes a gate, it goes nowhere. I made a gateway to a courtyard, but you don't own a courtyard. Gemara explains, Shatara hiashar, Torah is the gateway. Shall yada boim liyirazu, we come to this fear, and that fear is the courtyard. V'shetach l'shal ha-Torah hi, the purpose of Torah is, v'shvil ha-gi'a liyirazu, to get to this yira, to get to that courtyard, to get to the soviv. G'mon shetach l'shashar, just like the purpose of the gateway is to get to the courtyard. Shal chen divar chaval al deleis le'darta, woe unto the fellow who doesn't have a courtyard, v'tara le'darta of it, but he makes a gateway for the courtyard. So that's the same thing. It's woe unto the person who is who's learning Torah, right? But he's not coming to any yira. So he's building a gateway, but he has no courtyard that he's going into.
We talking about the lower level of fear?
No, the higher level.
He gets the lower level of fear. He's starting Torah, right? And then after studying Torah,
you got to learn Torah properly.
Okay, properly, then you get.
You have to learn properly. Yeah. If you're not learning properly,
yeah.
That's why they always talk about how do you have to learn Torah. with fear, with trepidation,
right,
with nervousness, just like they got the Torah at Sinai. Now you begin to understand why you have to do that. If you, that's the low, they have to start with the lower level of fear. Yeah. And then that will bring you to the higher level of fear. Okay, but then he concludes, the Tanya. But not every brain can tolerate that higher level of fear. Not everyone's up to that. Even one who can't tolerate that higher level, can't get there, klal yirazu, lo minevi, let's say, even a little bit, he can't get to it. Because of the deficient value of his soul, bishrusha, in its roots, umakora, bimadregas tachtonos, the esoshis, the asiya, and of the low levels of the 10 levels of the sphera. Okay. Still, even though you can't get the ein yirazuma kevas v'lemaisit, but this lack of fear will not hold them back in actual practice, kamosha kasim l'kaman, as I will say later on. He explains, even though the goal of Torah is to get to this yira, mikomakom, salon, gamish eni yocha lova liyira gedola, even one who can't get to this great fear, lochasa lo bayichim, kadosh baruch hu shnozol deim v'tor. You're not still missing, you're not missing that unity that happens with Hashem through learning, which he's got to have to explain. So there is a unity happening, although you don't sense it, you're still not lacking it. So that will all have to get explained. But what he has done so far in this chapter is telling you that Torah is mamish, totally with one, and therefore it's beyond, it's totally beyond. It's not, there's no, from any perspective, a separation between Hashem and his Torah at that level. And the Torah that we learn, is, since it's God's will, it brings us to this ultimate level of yira, of being totally nullified before Hashem. And that's how great tzaddikim could learn Torah and they would be found in other worlds. They would be learning certain Kabbalah, certain Torah, that their bodies would be here, but they would totally be in another world. And they were totally nullified to that world of Hashem. And it looked like they almost were dead. That's how far removed they were. And that was this great tshuka and longing to connect to that high level that's way beyond. And that's why it's a dangerous game to be involved in. Because you could die from it. You could die from it. And that's what happened to Nadav and Avihu. They got in there to the highest realms and they died. That's
and Rabbi Akiva and three others.
And four people went there and not everybody came out so normal. Okay. Now we're going to continue.
If that is the case, then what's the purpose for getting there in the first place?
Because that's the whole goal of life. It's the bond
with
Hashem.
Then you're going to nullify to the point where you're dead. Physically, you're
but
dead.
So your physical reality is a very little part of who you really are.
So you enter
your spiritual reality is the main thing.
Okay.
You're finally growing up into being something.
Thank God.
Right. So you're connecting on the highest levels.
So he's saying that some souls Hashem gives people, they're not
able to sense it. Yeah, they're not able. They don't have the kind of soul, but doesn't mean you're not going to get anything out of it. Which yes,
they go through the tzaddik.
They go through the tzaddik to get there. Whatever, we have to see. We're only on chapter 23 because that's what are like 60 chapters.
53
chapters. So we got a long way to go still. Okay, now we jump to page Reish Sadi Aleph. We begin the next chapter, Perek Chav Dalet. This is all on the positive side. Now, again, and this is now the difference between, let's remember again, the difference between Torah and mitzvahs. Mitzvahs is that you're nullifying to God's will, but you're not at one with God's will. Right? Because it's like the Merkava. It's like the Merkava. The chariot rider tells you where to go, and you listen, you obey. Okay, obeying is one thing, bonding is another. So mitzvahs are, I'm totally nullified to God, which is great. I mean, that's a great level to be on. You're totally nullified to God. But still, he's very, very far away. In Torah, you are at one. It's not that you're listening to what he's saying. You are in the world of what he's saying. And you're right there. That's the difference. The Torah is a much higher on the hierarchy. So now, in the previous chapter has been explained. The inner desire that illuminates in a revealed way comes from Torah and mitzvahs. A person becomes unified with Hashem, either by being bottled to him or by at one with him. Now in this chapter, we're going to see, Ech shal yidei averos, how through averos, shein hefech ritzon shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is the opposite of God's will, nasarim nifrit me'kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is totally separated from Hashem. So this you have to not, we spend a lot of time learning the positive aspect, now we gotta learn the negative aspect. So continues the Tanya. V'zeh l'umah said, now this one as opposed to that one, the forces of evil have to parallel the forces of good. Hein shasa mitzvahs, lo sase derais, v'chol yisur derabonim. The 365 negative commandments, and all the rabbinic prohibitions. Machashe neged ritzon v'chachmos yisbarach v'chamamish. If you do that, that's the opposite of God's will. Eating treif, not keeping Shabbos, and all those things, that's the opposite mamish of God's wisdom. Hem nifrodu miyuchudo v'achdus yisbarach v'tachas sabirut mamish. They are totally separated from that unity of the ultimate separation. Just like the other side and the shell that's called Avodah Zarah of Elohim Acherim. It's called Avodah Zarah and other gods. Because of the totally hidden will of Hashem. So this is the opposite. So when a person does an Avera, he is now doing the opposite of what Hashem wants, which is totally going to the other extreme. Now, of course, the commentary adds, HaKol Miyuchan Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have to remember, everything is connected to Hashem. Everything, even the Sitra Achar is connected to Hashem. El Shapirut Hu, but there is still a separation. Why? Machmas Hester Panim Shal Ras Al Yom. There is the hidden face of the supernal will. Umizen Ishtal Shal Klipa Sitra Achar, and that's how the Klipa and the Sitra Achar comes in this world, by Hashem hiding himself. And their concept is they feel like they're a separate reality, as we explained in chapter 22. And that's an avera as well. That's against the will of Hashem. They're separated from Hashem in the ultimate way of separation. Okay, although Hashem does have to give energy into them, but it doesn't appear at all that He is. So just like it is when you're doing a real action of a sin, so the aver is totally disconnected from Hashem. So too regarding the garments of the animalistic soul, that from them the action happens. It's not the action, but the power of that soul which makes the actions, and the animalistic soul itself, which are enclosed in the Aver, they too will be totally distanced from Hashem.
But the energy that makes you do that also still comes from Hashem.
Hashem, but the person doesn't sense that connection at all. So the three garments of the soul, that is from the Klipas Noga of the Jew, which are now enclosed with in thought, speech, and action, when they do the Averos, and the essential soul, when it's enclosed in that, they totally are unified with the other side of the Klipa, and that's called Avodah Zarah. So really, any Avera is Avodah Zarah, strange worship. More than that, not only that, they are nullified, connect, attached, and lower than the level of the Sitra Achar. You become lower and further away. It explains, okay, we skip that, go to the next line to the Tanya. Kihi, why? It all will get explained on the next page. He's saying a lot of words, it's going to get explained. Ki ena malefesh beguf chomri, because it's not enclosed in a physical body. I'm talking about the Sitra Achar. The Sitra Achar itself is not physical. Veinu moredes bo lipo puloso. B'mishlachas malachei ram shalom.
Did you skip Viadas
is Rabona and knows its creator. Okay. Sitra Achar knows who he works for. Right? Ve'enam moredes bo, and he doesn't rebel against him. Lifo puloso b'mishlachas malachei ram shalom. Shalom b'shalom shalom v'rechu. He doesn't do anything without Hashem telling him what to do. U'kamamer Bilam, it's like Bilam says, lo ucha lavor al pi Hashem, I can't go against Hashem. So the spiritually source there, that's the source of what we're following, commentary explains, HaKlipa Yadas Mishu Hashem, that Klipa knows that God exists, V'Yadashu Ribono, and knows that He's His master, V'Shechaves Lishmon, He has to listen to Him, right? However, so what's the problem? Look at the bracket. El she'ina klipa, what is the concept of the klipa? She'machzik asad l'zius, but he maintains himself for his own reality. The klipa thinks, but I'm still my own guy. I know God created me, but I'm still my own guy. V'ikfir b'akusbach, and that's denial of the unity of Hashem. V'kol batul gabikavashbor, that really, everything is solved by Hashem. Really, nobody is anything. But the klipa senses he has his own reality. Next page. V'gamash, the klipa sholachas malachim ro'am la'azik, and the klipa sends mazikim. Angels to damage. It doesn't do it against God's will. Now when it sends out punishments and suffering, it also comes from Hashem's will. He knows Hashem rules. That's what Bilam said from the bad clip he had. I can't go against Hashem. I can go against Hashem, but I can do a lot of damage because I can fool people. I can fool people and think they do averus, and then I'll be able to punish them with Hashem's permission.
Do you want to do all the line or no?
No. Okay. Va'av shenikra avodah zora, even though it's called avodah zora, which is bad, but still how correlate, but what is it really called? Eloh delokei. It's still, he's called the God of gods. In other words, the Avodah Zorah acknowledges there's a God higher than it. They can't at all go against God's will. Because they know, they understand that God is their life force that maintains them. They know they're receiving from the back of the back of God's will that surrounds them. As he said, remember we talked about the back. You can get from the front, you can get from the back. It's like, it just throws it back. I don't really care about it. You just take it. Commentary explains. Even though the klipa is called Avodah Zorah, you have to realize, it does not deny the reality of Hashem.
Why does that matter?
You'll see in a minute. Well, because it can't. Because they call Hashem the God of the gods. The klipas know that God controls them. They know it comes from Hashem, although it's coming from the back. Right, as we said before, it's not direct love, but it's coming from the back, because the Rebbe doesn't really care for it, but they know they come. So in other words, Satan, klipa, all those negative terms, shadim, azikim, all those things, the damaging part of this world, they all know they come from Hashem. Right? They don't deny that. And they also understand, and it's their job is to make people sin. It is their job.
To fool them.
To get them to sin. To try to get them to sin. But they know where they come from. Tanya continues. But what they nurture from and what they live from, it's an aspect of Golus in and of itself. Because they still think they have power. That is a denial of his unity. He explains. Even though they know that their life force comes from Hashem, it's still called Avodah Zorah. Why? Because they do think they have some godly power. Because God is called the Elokaya. God is called the God of the gods. So you're a god, but I'm also a god. I'm a god from you. Even though the godliness force is revealed, if God would totally reveal his will, they'd be totally nullified. But Hashem gives them backwards, hidden. So any doesn't affect them, they become totally nullified to Hashem. Because they think you're gods. In spite of that, they know a little bit that there's a God. They don't totally deny Hashem. Let me give you an analogy to this. We'll end with this. Our teenage children, right? Who they get all their stuff from their parents. Right? Now, any teenager with a half a brain knows they have nothing without their parents. Yet they demand the car from their parents. Yet they think, you know, they get money from their parents. Right? And then they say, listen, I'll treat you all for, it goes to his friends, I'll treat you all and buy you drugs.
Drugs?
Whatever. I'll buy you food. I'm a knacker. Now why do you think you're a knacker of anything? You know, I'll do this. I have money. You know, these teenagers, they say, you know, I have money. I'll go to the parent. I want to buy it. So I'm like, well, I have my own money. Where'd you get your own money from? You got it from Hashem. Right? So they understand. They understand that there's a parent who gives them the money. But they still think that they're the boss of their money. That's the mashal of the klipa.
Okay, denies the unity of Hashem if you think you're a god.
Because if you think you're something, we'll have to see how Yid who follows him is even worse than that. That's going to be the problem. All right, let's stop here.